Well, good Monday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on VPN Radio on this March the 9th, 2015. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So thankful to have you listening in on this Monday on VPN Radio as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And you may say, well, Dale Gentry, how long are you going to call for people to pray for revival in America? Until the Holy Spirit says to me, quit praying, Dale. America's lost. Don't pray anymore. There's no hope. He's not said that to me. So I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep asking people to pray with me. And the call is not to pray for America. The call is for America to pray. Calling America to pray. Asking for 1 million people to pray with me for revival in America. Another spiritual awakening, a spiritual awakening in this nation. I'm calling for personal revivals, for people to have a revival in their own lives, for revival to happen in their home, in their church, in their city. And I'm believing that if we can have revival in every city in America, we definitely will have a spiritual awakening. So I'm calling for 1,000 prayer centers, 1,000 cities, and 1,000 prayer leaders. And the reason that I'm calling for this is because we have an emergency in America. Our nation is on the brink of total collapse. And you say, well, why don't you give us some hope? Well, I am a messenger of hope, and the hope is not in the governments of this world or the kingdoms of this world. Our hope is in Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm talking about our hope is in Jesus. And I declare that Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready. How do I know that He's coming soon? Because of the signs of the times. And I know there are people that do not like to hear those words. And the Bible talks about that in the last days. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, first off, you need to know that in the last days, which I believe that we're living in, mockers are going to have a heyday, reducing everything to the level of their puny feelings. They'll mock. So what's happened to the promise of His coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and everything's going on just as it has been from the first day of creation. Nothing's changed, and that is the way that people are living. They are living like they're going to stay here forever, and they don't want to hear about the coming of the Lord. They believe that everything is just going to evolve. Everything is going to be okay. And I declare that everything is going to be okay as long as you have your trust in Jesus. But we do have an emergency in America. And the emergency is that we are discovering and finding and discerning a total collapse in our nation. I'm talking about a collapse of morality. And anybody that tries to speak out about a morality is immediately reduced, mocked, ridiculed. We saw that last week when one of our presidential candidates came out on his opinion of a certain moral issue, his belief in a certain moral issue, and the news media took certain words that he spoke and ridiculed him. And in a couple of days, this man, this doctor who is running for president, total backpedaled and brought out another statement apologizing. Let me tell you something. We're living in a day. Anybody that speaks out will be immediately assaulted by the media and demanding a retraction, which he retracted his statement, backpedaled on some statements he made. And, of course, he continued to stand for what he believed. But we must understand that there is a total assault. In fact, this man has been put on a temporary hate list. And, of course, men like David Barton, Lou Engle, and others Jerry Boykin have already been put on that hate list. And so anybody that speaks out has been put on some type of list not to say anything, and all resulting in a fear of saying anything that would be controversial. And this is even spilling over into many churches across America, where pastors are afraid to say anything. And the silence has become deafening. The silence is deafening. So we're going to talk about that today. Pray about the condition of our nation. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for the next hour. We pray your will, plan, and purpose be done as we pray together for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come, anoint me, your servant, as we spend this hour with you, this hour of power. You said to your disciples, could you not tarry 1 hour? Could you not spend with me? Could you not spend 1 hour? And so we know there's the power of an hour, so we're going to watch and pray. And I'm thankful for those people that are joining me on this Monday to set themselves in agreement for change in America. I'm not talking about a political change. I'm talking about a change in the spiritual climate of this nation, because we do have an emergency. I have a spiritual son that has written a song called This Is an Emergency, and it is an emergency. And so I'm going to play this song. I'm going to be back to tell you why we have an emergency, and we're going to pray together.
Just stop preaching, substituting truth, motivational speaking. What about sin and Holy Ghost conviction? They said that's no way to fill my congregation. Going to church became a social affair. We're praising from our lips, but our heart's not really there. It's time that our fruit, that it lines up with Him, and we repent from all our sin. It's an emergency. We need a Holy Ghost invasion, absolutely, to change this apathetic, feel-good Christianity. So the church can shine their light with no hypocrisy. We need to turn our hearts to Him. What's right is now wrong, and what's wrong is now right. We're politically correct now, and if not, there's a fight. It's getting harder and harder to talk about sin. A man isn't happy feeling any condemnation. Oh, we wanna live as we do, and we do as we please. The church needs to wake up and fall on her knees. Revival needs to start with repentance today, and if not, then we have to pay. 'Cause it's an emergency. Change this apathetic, feel-good Christianity, so the church can shine their light with no hypocrisy. We need to turn our hearts to Him. He is the potter, and we are His clay. Lord, help us be good clay, so He can brand new and again each day.
We have an emergency in America. You say, what is the emergency? The emergency is that our nation is being inundated with all sorts of things that are happening, resulting in a moral collapse, resulting in an economic collapse, resulting in chaos, because we in America have forgotten God. We have turned away from Him. And how did it all happen? How did it all happen? It happened because we have been asleep at the wheel. And I'm not saying that every pastor, every church is backslidden. There's no one speaking the truth. I'm not saying that. I know there are many, many pastors, many churches that are praying. Many people are praying. But we have a vacuum in this nation because of the silence of so many pastors, leaders that are not declaring the truth. And so we have so many ministers today that are on radio, television, other places, and they spend most of their time asking for funds. We all need partners, even here on BPN Radio. We all need partners, but we don't need gimmicks. We don't need ministers taking up most of their time finding new ways to get money, finding new ways to get finances. We need men and women that will declare the truth, that will speak the truth, and will address what is happening in America. What is happening in America? We have the rise of the homosexual movement. We have the rise of Islam. And we have darkness that is advancing upon this nation to silence the church. There's a war on Christianity. We call ourselves a Christian nation, but if you try to use the name of Jesus in the public square, you will be restricted. If you try to pray in our schools today, you will not be allowed to pray. The Ten Commandments are being removed off of the walls of so many, many places. So we do have an emergency. And the emergency is that Satan is out to silence the church. He's already silenced so many ministers today. We're living in the days of 1 Kings, where Elijah gathered the people on Mount Carmel. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah stood and said, "How long will you falter?" The King James says, "Halt." "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. They answered him not a word. And so we know that we have Baal gods in America today. And what is the Baal God? That is the God of pleasure. And what will, one man said, what's going to destroy America? Pleasure. And we are bent on pleasure. What can we do? We are actually living in a nation that is very bored. Our nation is bored. People are bored. And they're wondering, what else can we do? What can we do next? And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "What is the sign of your coming? What is that? Tell us about that." And in Matthew 24, Jesus responded. He said, "But the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time, right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay alert. Stay awake. You have no idea what day your master will show up, but you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant, just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. But the word is, you must be ready. Now, I know that there are men that are teaching and preaching and prophesying. And I also know that no prophecy is of private interpretation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So I do understand that no one has it all, but those that know something must declare it. Every prophetic voice must speak what they know is happening, what they see coming, and we cannot be silent. So in Elijah's day, they had a Baal God, and the Baal God included the God of pleasure, everything that pleased their flesh. Jesus said in the last days, everybody will be doing their own thing, carrying on their own ways, and even Christians promoting their own doctrines. And the thing that they stand for is whatever pleases the flesh. And so pastors are attempting to conform to the wishes and the whims and the demands of their congregation. People don't want to be in church over an hour, so we'll only have a service for 1 hour. And people want to eat, drink. They want to go about their business. The God of pleasure, the God of sensuality, whatever pleases the flesh. Jesus said, this is what's going to be happening. And even though Noah was building an ark and saying a great flood is coming, and everybody needs to get into the ark, they paid no attention. They paid no attention, the Bible said, until the flood came and swept everything away. There is a flood coming to our nation. There is a flood coming to our land. And everything that we have put our confidence in, our retirement, our benefits, our health care, our food, our everyday way of living, our company, our corporation, our job, everything that we thought was stable is suddenly going to become unstable. And everything that we have put our hope in, everything that we have satisfied ourselves with and worked for is suddenly going to be swept away. I know that you are not listening, maybe you're not listening, but we have an emergency. And what is going to save us? The only thing that will save us is if we have a revival in cities all across America, if we have a spiritual awakening in America. And I'm praying right now for a revival in 1,000 cities. I'm praying for a spiritual awakening. Father, would you send revival? How is that going to happen? What are you saying? What does that look like, Dale Gentry? You're on the radio, internet radio, 24 hours a day. You have been you've been calling for revival as a prayer leader in America since 1985. What does all of that look like? Here's what it looks like. If my people, which are called by my name, so there is a cry for the church, the people of God. There is a cry for the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So what needs to happen? There needs to be a call for repentance. First of all, a repentance in our own lives, of our sins, a cleansing in our homes, a cleansing in our families, a cleansing in our lives, a cleansing in our business. And pastors and leaders all across America need to call for repentance, repenting of the sins of the flesh, repenting for our greed, our idolatry, everything that has come between us and God. And we need to repent. Pastors need to call for repentance and need to recall for repentance in the church. We need to to call for times, seasons of prayer. Pastors and leaders need to get the people together as they did, as Joel cried out, let the priests, the pastors, the ministers weep between the porch and the altar, weep on behalf of their congregations. Intercessors need to rise and begin to weep and travail for our nation, for their city, for their land, for their family. There needs to be times of prayer. There needs to be seasons of prayer. And in that times of prayer, calling for a repentance in our lives, a repentance on behalf of the church and a repentance on behalf of the nation. We must pray. It's not just a matter of saying the model prayer, but we must pray because we are a fallen nation. We are a nation out of control. We are a nation that has turned to the gods of pleasure. What's going to destroy this land? One man said the thing's going to destroy America is pleasure. We are bent on pleasure. We're bored. We're looking for something to do, some place to go. And everything has to be more dynamic. Everything has to be more shocking. Everything has to be more self-fulfilling. And then if anybody says anything contrary to what people want, to what people want to do, then they are labeled as a hate monger or a bigot or a negative person. And so we don't want anyone to warn us. But the prophetic voices in this nation must warn the people that perilous times are in motion. We are a nation under attack, and Christianity particularly is under attack. If anybody says anything, we know this happened in Houston when the mayor of Houston, because there were some pastors in that city that opposed what she wanted to do, then they were labeled, and there was a critiquing of their sermons. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not just happening on one front. This is not just happening in one city, but it's happening in many, many places that we don't know about. And the whole thing is silence. Silence. The Bible said that the prophet called out for someone to speak. He said, if the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people did not have an opinion. They did not answer him a word. And there are so many Christians today that have no opinion, and they're following the leads of pastors and priests and shepherds and leaders. They're following that lead because they're saying nothing. They get in the congregation and they have motivational messages, motivational sermons that make people feel good. And we have so many preachers today that are competing about who can preach the greatest sermon and who can move the congregation emotionally. And while we need some pastors, some preachers that will say something. They will say something. They will name sin. They will tell the people where we're at. They will say words like, we must get ready because Jesus is coming soon. He could come at any moment. Somebody said, well, does that mean there's going to be a rapture? You know, there's so many pastors afraid to say the word rapture. And there's so many opinions. We're probably divided in America 50-50. And not to talk about the rapture, because there's too many opinions. There's so many opinions. There's opinions that about pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib and the mark of the beast, and there's so many, many things. But I believe that we need to be saying that Jesus is coming soon. I do believe in a rapture. I do believe in the catching away of the church. I know that's going to disappoint a lot of people that pray with me, but our fellowship is not going to be broken. But somebody said, well, what if you're wrong? But what if I'm right? And some people just believe that Jesus is going to come and set his kingdom up without a rapture. I don't think we ought to quibble over those things, but I do believe that we need to pray. And because I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And what if I'm right? What if the preachers that have been preaching a rapture, what if they're right and suddenly there are so many people that are left behind? Here's what it says. The Son of Man, Jesus said in Matthew 24, the Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay alert, stay awake. You have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Be vigilant just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. Jesus is coming soon. And we know that we can see, ladies and gentlemen, we can see the signs of time. Father, we pray for a spiritual awakening. First of all, in the heart of every leader, that we will awaken, and then he will begin to convey that to the church, to the congregation, and then the church will begin to convey that to their city, and the cities will begin to convey that to the nation, that we must have another spiritual awakening. We must have revival, and we have fallen, and we have fallen so fast. We need your help, God. We need your help. Now, would you pray with me right now? You know, I believe in music and prayer. I believe that music and prayer goes together. I'm not talking about just any song that is sung, because I do know that just like some sermons, some songs simply have a Christian slant, but just doesn't make any sense. And so we know that there are songs that are to be sung in association with prayer. And I have a spiritual son. I have some spiritual sons that are writing some songs and singing some songs that are quite awesome. A few minutes ago, I played a song that was written by a spiritual son, Jim Wagie, and I'm going to play another one of his songs entitled How Fast We Have Fallen. Conveys what's been going on in America. I'll play the song here on BPN, and then we'll pray some more.
God's not welcome in classrooms and school locker rooms. Commencement addresses, no more prayer in school. Then we wonder why he's not there. How fast we have fallen. Not welcome in government or courthouse walls. Congress voting in unread bills and laws. Political agendas rule. How fast we have fallen. Some have wondered, how did we get here? What happened to us? It just took one step at a time, one more compromise, a turn head away, more tolerance today. Don't judge me, take a stand and tell me what to do. Now we're living like we wanted to. How fast we have fallen. We're stuck in a system, it's failing us fast. Rewriting of brainwashed kids. Today, don't judge me, take a stand or tell me what to do.
So that's kind of an in-your-face song, but How Fast We Have Fallen, Jim Wege. If you want to purchase Jim Wege's music, you can do that by going to www.jimwege.com. That's W-A-G-Y, Jim Wege, www.jimwege.com. Writing songs about the condition of our nation from his perspective and what he sees. And, wow. So, we're living in perilous days. Thank you, Jim Wege, for writing songs, telling the truth. And we are delighted to have you here on VPN Radio. This is Dale Gentry on the air at this time, anytime. On VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Around the globe, around the clock, we're praying. What are we praying for? We're praying for revival in America. Revival in 1,000 cities. 1,000 cities resulting in a spiritual awakening in our land. And it's an emergency. It's an emergency because right now we have a voice to say something. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that that opportunity, these opportunities are fading fast. There are things that are being written by the Federal Communications Commission concerning the internet that's going to bring major restrictions. We don't know what's in the bill, but we know that it's vast and it's big, that we'll begin to restrict what we're saying. And we know that the time is coming when pastor sermons are going to be critiqued, as they were in Houston. They're going to be critiqued, and people that speak out against certain things are going to be put on hate list, and they will first of all try to silence anyone that is speaking out. They will try to silence them through shame, through public ridicule. And if they can't do that, then they will go by way of certain bills or certain demands, certain things that are written that will restrict what we are trying to say. So, you know, things are happening quickly. Things are happening quickly. Everything is culminating in the return of Jesus. And we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We cannot be asleep at the wheel, church. I'm speaking to Christians because mostly I'm just talking to people that pray. And you say, well, you're just speaking to the choir. You're saying the same thing every day. No. Ladies and gentlemen, Those of you that are praying with me, you know that Noah kept building the ark and saying, the flood is coming. And I'm sure that they ridiculed him. And only his family were the ones that finally went into the ark along with the animals, two by two. And the door was shut and it started raining. No one was paying attention because they had heard that again and again. And some people are saying, well, there's no use praying with Dale Gentry because he's just talking about bad things. He talks about negative things. He talks about sin. He talks about repentance. He talks about things that we should do that we already know to do. And all things will continue. They're saying with their silence, all things are going to continue as they were. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus could come at any moment. At any moment. And are you ready? Are you ready for his return? Are you ready? If you go to sleep tonight and you don't wake up, are you ready for his return? If Jesus comes, if the rapture happens, which many people don't believe in, but if it does happen, if you are wrong, and many that have been preaching about the rapture, will you be left behind? Will you be left behind? And so, what do we do? What do we do as a church? What do we do as Christians? Well, you must understand there are certain giftings and talents and abilities that he's given you. And if you are an intercessor, you need to keep praying. And I know that everyone cannot spend hours at a time in prayer. There are times that we can do that. But intercessors are called to intercede on behalf of a city or a person or a church or a people group or a nation. Intercede in the closet. And the intercessors are to declare what they are hearing in the closet. I always welcome words that the intercessors may be hearing. And they tell the prophet, they tell the prophetic voices, and the prophets, they need to begin to speak. And there are some prophets in America that are saying everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to continue like it was. There's going to be all of these wonderful things that are happening. Everything is going to get better and better. No worries. And they're just prophesying smooth words. And people love that. They love it. But all prophets are going to have to give an accountability. They're going to have to be accountable for those words that they speak. They're going to have to be accountable for things that they have compromised on. In fact, the buzzword today is tolerance. That's what Jim Wagee said in his song. A tolerance, an attitude of acceptance, toleration, open-mindedness, broad-mindedness, forbearance, liberality, liberalism. Now, I'm not reading my own words. I'm reading from Webster's dictionary on what tolerance is. In fact, the word is, the buzzword is, let's be more tolerant. Let's be tolerant of these different people groups. Let's be tolerant. Let's be tolerant of sin. Let's be tolerant of people's beliefs. Let's respect what everybody else is doing. You cannot respect sin. And so the buzzword is tolerance. And if we are not tolerant or compromising or agreeable, can we just agree? Can we get along? And the word is that we want to be tolerant of every religion except Christianity. Let's be tolerant of every word, but let's don't say the name of Jesus. And so tolerance, the dictionary said, tolerance is an attitude of tolerance toward other people, acceptance, toleration, open-mindedness, broad-mindedness, forbearance, liberality, liberalism, indulgence, understanding. And so let's just be tolerant of every religion. Let's be tolerant of anything, even though it's not what we believe, even though it's not what the Bible says. We're just going to be tolerant. And so there's no place for intolerance in our land. And so the prophet needs to declare what he sees. The prophet is a watchman to look, peer into the distance, keep watch, to scope something out, especially in order to see approaching danger and to warn those who are endangered. A watchman on a wall who is blowing a trumpet, declaring and proclaiming what he sees coming. And if he does not proclaim that and declare that, then what happens? The blood of the people will be required at the hand of the prophet. The prophet has a mission. He has an assignment, and that is to warn the people. The pastor, the leader, what is he or she assigned to do? That's to feed the sheep, feed the flock, but also give them direction to declare to them what is holy and unholy, and speak to them the difference between holy and unholy, righteousness and unrighteousness. The teacher is to proclaim what the prophet is saying and what the pastor is saying, breaking it down in pieces so that you can understand. Do you understand this? Do you understand the danger of what you're doing? Do you understand the consequences of what's going on? Do you understand the benefits of serving Jesus? The teacher breaks it down. And the evangelist, he talks about winning the lost, which everybody should do that, but he actually takes people out on soul winning missions and tells the people how to win people to Christ. He gathers people in stadiums like Billy Graham did, and he preaches to the people. He preaches Jesus. The evangelist is not to do the work of the prophet. The prophet is to warn the people, declares what he's seeing. The evangelist is to preach crusades if necessary, calling people to Jesus, calling people to get right with God. And we know the apostle, he's to give oversight to it all. The apostle is to give oversight. And the prophet is to declare things, but he needs to have confirmation from the apostles. We're all working together in the body of Christ. All working together. The business people, what are they doing? If you're a businessman or businesswoman, God has called you to work in the marketplace to provide finances for the ones that are in the ministry. The prophet or the pastor does not need to be out working, providing for himself finances. There are those that are to provide the finances to help build the buildings and to send. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how can the preacher preach unless he be sent, provided for? And so we know the businessman, businesswoman is called to make money, not to just to tear down their old barns and build bigger barns. But the businessman and woman is called. They are called to help finance the gospel. The end time harvest, the harvest is plenteous, the labors are few. And the labors, they need finances. They have assignments, and businessmen and businesswomen are called to make money. And each one of us, whether we be a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or an apostle or a prophet, whatever we do, or a business person, we need to multiply ourselves. We need to begin to help others do what we're doing. I know that one of my assignments is to raise up other prophetic voices, to raise up other prayer leaders, to multiply myself. If you're a business person, multiply yourself. Teach other people to do what you are doing. Multiplying yourself in Jesus' name. But it's all undergirded by prayer. By prayer. If we don't pray, we will not know what to do. We will do what comes naturally, because when we pray, we're developing spiritual ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we are developing our spiritual eyes to see what we are hearing in the Spirit. And when we pray, we begin to declare what we are hearing and seeing. And we begin to create our worlds. We begin to create what God has assigned us to do. And then as we pray, we'll begin to see happenings and things will begin to take place. We are all a part of the body of Christ working together. Working together. So we hear it, we see it, and then we say it. And that's where the rub comes, by saying it. Because Satan does not want us to say it. The liberal media does not want us to speak out on anything that would be controversial, that they would label as controversy. But we, as sons and daughters of God, we must speak out. We must declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We must pray for those in authority, including those we don't agree with. Even our president, if we don't agree with him, we've still got to pray for him. I still pray for my president. We're going to do it right now. Father, I pray for President Barack Obama. I pray in Jesus' name that godly people will be gathered around him, that he will continue to uphold Israel, that he will protect Israel with our military forces, and that he will stand with Israel and against the forces of darkness coming against Israel. I pray that you protect his family, his wife and two daughters. I pray that you'll bless him. I pray that you'll bless him with good health. I pray that you would give him wisdom and discernment and understanding. I pray that he will make right choices. I pray, Lord, that his nomination for judges or Supreme Court members in the future will be those that will stand for righteousness. I pray in Jesus' name for my president. I pray for Vice President Biden. I pray for my president's cabinet. I pray for those in authority everywhere. I pray for those in Congress. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, for those in authority in my state of Texas. I pray for Governor Abbott. I pray for my county sheriff, Cutler. I pray for my Congressman Rogers, for Roger Williams. I pray in Jesus' name for my mayor. I pray for those in authority in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And even though I may disagree with someone, I'm going to pray for them. If they're in authority, I'm going to pray for them. I do not have to condone their actions, their words, but I am required to pray for them. Why don't you pray right now for your president? Why don't you pray for your vice president? I know there's nations that pray with me who are praying for America because we need help. But why don't you just pray for your nation, your country, your leaders? Just take a few moments. Father, I pray for every person that is listening to BPN Radio on this Monday. I pray, Lord, that each one of these people will purpose in their heart they're going to do the will of God. The bottom line in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're going to do the will of God. We're going to do the will, plan, and purpose of God. So the bottom line in my life is I celebrate, as you and I celebrate this June, as we celebrate 49 years in the ministry, as we celebrate on March the 12th, as we celebrate 48 years of full-time ministry, we've done nothing except minister the gospel. We declare that we are living out our assignments of what God's will has been for our lives. And each one of us have assignments in our lives. And the bottom line is, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? And there's some of you that don't know the will of God for your life. So I pray for you right now in Jesus' name. The will of God be done. I pray the will of God be done in this nation. I pray for revival in America. Help me pray. Pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you just take a few moments as we conclude here on BPN. Why don't you just take these moments just to pray the will of God be done in your life. I'm gonna sign off with these words. I love you and I thank you for praying with me. I'm thankful for the hope that makes not ashamed, and I'm here to help you, and I'm here to pray with you here on BPN Radio. And I'm just going to ask that you take the next few minutes before we sign off here on this hour just to spend time as Todd Mooring plays some worship music just to pray the will of God be done in your life and your family. Would you do that? Thank you for being with me here on BPN Radio today. Very thankful and grateful that you're praying with me. God bless you. Have a good day today. Now I'm just going to give you an opportunity to spend some time in personal prayer, private prayer.
Listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour. been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.